The scientific discoveries continue to flood in, and November has been no different. So here are 10 interesting scientific discoveries for November of 2025. Number 10. AI blueprints for bacteria killers. One area where AI is proving to be of enormous benefit to humanity is medical science. One thing that plagues medicine today are hard-to-eradicate bacterial infections resistant to antibiotics. One such bacterium is E. coli. But in addition to vulnerabilities chemically, there are also vulnerabilities that bacteria have to viruses. E. coli is generally virus-resistant to a high degree, but scientists working with AIs that model new proteins and genes have been used to generate an entire genome of a virus. These models are known as EVO1 and EVO2, and are specifically intended to create viruses that kill bacteria like E. coli. Basically, they trained the AI models on genomes of bacteria, not unlike how ChatGPT trains on the internet, and based on the basic DNA of a specific bacteriophage of E. coli, they were able to design a similar genome that tweaks from the ground up. From that, they were able to create 16 viruses that were able to attack E. coli better than the original virus they were based on. They then used cocktails of these viruses to overcome virus-resistant E. coli and effectively eradicated it. This is of immense and indeed urgent use in treating difficult-to-treat bacterial infections, especially in hospitals. The downside is that these viruses will need to be controlled very carefully and not let into the environment, where they might affect populations of other types of bacteria, including beneficial ones, and ones that do not affect humans. On another note, there actually is another kind of landmark here. This basically is a fully artificial virus, and viruses get something very close to being alive. Indeed, it is still debated whether they are alive, meaning we are now one step away from the creation of truly artificial, at least bacterial, life. Bacteria, unlike viruses, have no debate. They are indeed alive, and we are very close. Number 9. Maki Maki has an atmosphere. Discovered in 2005, the minor planet Maki Maki represents in many ways a typical Kuiper Belt object, but recent work with the James Webb Telescope has detected the most distant gas ever seen in a solar system object. Maki Maki has an atmosphere of methane, but it's very tenuous, with a surface pressure just 100 billionth that of Earth. Maki Maki is 53 times further away from the Sun than the Earth, and is cold enough for methane to freeze out on its surface. So it's unclear just how the methane is creating an atmosphere, but there are two possible mechanisms. The first is that it's simply the action of sunlight heating the methane just enough for a small amount of it to sublime into an atmosphere. The other possibility is that it's being put there by cryovolcanic plumes that sporadically erupt from the object, not unlike how Enceladus and Europa spray water into space. The takeaway here is that it raises an interesting question. Could other substantial Kuiper Belt objects sport incredibly thin atmospheres? And is it situational, like Pluto, where it develops an atmosphere when it's close to the Sun, only for it to freeze out when it gets more distant? Number 8. Crystals nail the ages of dinosaur eggs. There is an unusual fossil formation in central China known as the Qinglongshan Assemblage that contains so far 3,000 known dinosaur eggs that are still a mystery as to what species of dinosaurs they belong to. But the other long-standing mystery was their age, which now appears to be solved. One specific clutch of 28 eggs that was studied are unusual because they are geode-like, basically full of calcium carbonate crystals when you look inside them, that also have trace amounts of uranium, which is key. Uranium decays to lead at a known rate, and that allowed the scientists to work out an age of 86 million years during the late Cretaceous. This is a key period because Earth at the time had cooled back down from the hothouse conditions of the mid-Cretaceous. These eggs show interesting morphological differences from other similar eggs, such as egg shell thinning. but also porosity in the shells that can be used to work out things like the overall humidity when they were laid, temperature, and so on. And this may in fact be due specifically to that cooling period. All would not be well though, as the end of the late Cretaceous saw the extinction of all dinosaurs except the birds. Number 7. The black hole that hit a star. Titanic events like the notion of a black hole falling into a star are not well understood, but include a number of odd situations that may or may not happen in the universe. One of these is a Thorne Zeitkow object, where a black hole gets subsumed into the core of a red giant. But recently, a related event was caught where a black hole was eaten by a star, but then consumed the star and produced a strange gamma ray burst. What happened is that the gamma ray burst, which normally only lasts for a short time, a few minutes, instead lasted for 7 hours. This is by far the longest known gamma ray burst yet detected. This led scientists to suspect that it had to be a black hole getting swallowed by the star, and then eating the star from within, creating some sort of weak supernova in the process, potentially leaving little behind other than the black hole, which ultimately seems to have won the fight. Number 6. AI model might be able to predict solar flares. This is another case of training an AI to do useful science. Here, scientists at IBM and NASA trained an AI model called Surya on 9 years of data from NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory in hopes of being able to better predict what the surface of the sun will look like hours ahead in hopes of being able to gain a better warning system regarding solar flares. They had some success in that the model was able to predict accurately 16% better than previous machine learning techniques based on the historical flare data, and could even predict visually what the flare would look like to the observatory. Right now, the model is still being improved, but eventually it might serve as a warning system for satellite operators and power grid operators to extend the time they have to prepare for solar activity and avoid damage from it. Number 5. New information on Thylacine extinction. It's long been known that the last remaining Thylacine holdout was Tasmania, where they were deliberately driven to extinction as nuisances, with the last known example dying in captivity in 1936, though there have been periodic reports that they may have persisted longer in the wild. But new genetic information on Thylacines seems to show that they had a deeper genetic problem that made them susceptible to extinction. This actually started with researchers in India working with Bengal tigers, and they suspected that arch carnivores, like tigers and thylacines, because of their evolutionary histories, may have lost genes that may have left them unusually vulnerable to environment changes and new diseases. It's possible that the loss of the involved genes may have had an advantage in the past, but that advantage ceased when under increased pressure, i.e. humans, and that the loss happened at about 6 million years ago, a period of changing climate. Number 4. We may have finally seen Population 3 stars. For decades, astronomers have hypothesized the existence of so-called Population 3 stars, which were the first generation of stars to have formed in the universe after the Big Bang. These stars did not last long, and rapidly went supernova, and began the process of populating the galaxies with heavier elements, which indeed would eventually incorporate in planets. But until now, no solid candidate for a Population 3 star has been found, mainly because you have to look very distantly into the furthest galaxies to see back far enough in time to catch one of these stars. No small task, but with distance also comes lesser resolution. This involves a galaxy known as LAP-1b, and is believed from our perspective to appear as it was about 800 million years after the Big Bang. Here we got lucky. That's so distant that even with JWST, we are only able to see this galaxy because a foreground galaxy cluster is lensing it. The evidence from the properties of this galaxy is in favor of it being made up largely of population 3 stars. But there's a problem. It's also very late in the game for that. Population 3 stars are expected significantly earlier than this, about 400 million years older, so it would require pockets of pristine hydrogen and helium to hang out longer in this galaxy than they normally would. But it is possible. Only more work on this galaxy will shed more light on whether this really is a confirmation of this expected type of star or not. Number 3. We keep learning more about Richard III. Perhaps one of the most interesting and historically important archaeological finds of the 21st century so far was the tracking down and discovery of the skeleton of King Richard III of England, of Shakespeare fame, the Princes in the Tower mystery, and plenty else. Even more astonishingly, perhaps, the researchers were basically able to prove, by multiple means, that the skeleton actually is that king, ranging from his back scoliosis, bone testing that correlated with isotope ratios of where he lived, evidence of a violent death, and the fact that he was buried exactly where he was supposed to be, and genetic evidence based on living relatives. Richard is now reburied in Leicester Cathedral in England after a long period of study, not just for historical reasons, but archaeological ones, because he did die in 1485. But one key thing here is that for a centuries-old skeleton, the researchers were able to get a shockingly enormous amount of DNA from the skeleton, about 400 million sequences. And that DNA record has revealed something new over a decade after the find. The king had really awful teeth. They were able to identify 400 different microbial species present in the skeleton's mouth microbiome. These are all actually very common among skeletons in Britain going back to the Neolithic period, and shows that even kings were not immune. There's not much data revealed about his diet. Bone studies yielded some, including that he ate better once he became king, and in the last 2 years of his life, he ate a lot of wild game, fish, and drank a bottle of wine a day. But they did find one specific microbe having been present, Tanarella forsythia. This is bad. It's linked to severe periodontal disease and can actually destroy someone's jaw. That wasn't happening with the king. He may or may not have had diseased gums, but he died at age 32. But it does support that even at the top, people in the 15th century had terrible oral hygiene, and Richard certainly had cavities, but had he lived longer, he might have run into even more problems. Number 2. Liquid veins on Mars may host life. On Earth, buried permafrost hosts veins of liquid moving through it, and a new finding regarding Mars shows that it could actually have this as well. Researchers calculated how large these veins could be on Mars, and much of the soil could be liquid water instead of frozen. Key here is that Mars is salty. Its surface has it everywhere, and salty water has a lower freezing point. They found that it wasn't a problem in simulations to get 5% of the water in the Martian soil that's buried liquid, even if the other 95% is frozen. The veins can actually be as much as 5 millimeters in diameter, and that's enough for habitability. This is interesting because these veins, which exist at latitudes higher than 50 degrees, would very likely be the easiest places to dig in order to test for life if it's present. But at the same time, it pays to remember that Mars is not Earth. They have different conditions, and the rules and limits of life on Mars could be very different from Earth. We can only go there, return samples, and see. Number 1. The lizard that survived the asteroid impact. The vicinity of the Great Dinosaur Killer impact was, at the time, the most dangerous place to be on planet Earth, though it didn't have very many safe places in the aftermath. But one species of lizard seems to have done it, and as far as we know, it's the only terrestrial vertebrate in the immediate area that did. They're called Xanthusalid night lizards and are found in Cuba, Central America, Mexico, and the southwestern U.S. It's known that these lizards are old, but it wasn't clear how old. But new evidence suggests that they originate in the Cretaceous period about 93 million years ago, based on genetic sequences of the lizards. This means that they were around with the dinosaurs. The fossil record seems to suggest that they didn't get wiped out and recolonized the Yucatan area, but somehow survived, and the record in the fossil seems continuous before and after the impact. Given the species likes to shelter in rock crevices and have slow metabolisms, that might be how they did it. Just shelter and ride it out until it's safe to come back out. Bonus, I had an extra entry. A new potential biosignature to look for alien life. One of the major projects of astrobiology today is to try to figure out ways to look for alien life in exoplanet atmospheres as far as biospheres go. And there is a new one. It's the color of the microbes. For the first time, microbes that inhabit clouds in Earth's atmosphere have had their color measured. Earth's clouds have a lot of microbes, so much so that they may play a role in cloud formation. They use pigments to protect themselves from the increased ultraviolet light from the sun at high altitudes. This means that exoplanets can be studied through spectra to see what light the exoplanets are reflecting. In this case, our microbes produce beta-carotene and other carotenoid pigments, making them yellow, orange, or pink, depending on the species. The researchers found that if an exoplanet has enough microbes like this in their cloud deck, it would change the spectrum enough to be detectable. The one drawback is that the amount of microbes would need to be extremely high, higher than Earth, but it's something to add to the toolkit nonetheless. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently congratulating that lizard on surviving the asteroid impact. I don't think we could even do that. Good to see they're still around, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.